Amen. Hey, before you sit down, welcome everyone online right now. Will you welcome our brothers and sisters online? We love you guys. So glad to have you this morning. Please have a seat. Have a seat. Welcome to RCC. And if you are new here, we want you to know, welcome to the family, all right? We're one family, and we love Jesus, and we are so thankful to have you. We hope you feel right at home. And I just want to say, God's on the move big time in this church. We've had several baptisms recently, along with Michaela and Reagan. Also want, just to celebrate real quick, Riley, Tessa, Trevor, and William. Can we give God the praise for their baptisms that have happened recently? And I just want to say thank you to this church. Your generosity is just incredible, how it continues to just dumbfound people. We talked about last week just breaking the record for those who've raised money for the First Coast Women's Services. Well, now we're helping the Father's Heart Ministry, which feeds the needy right here in Clay County. And you guys are just overwhelming us with tons of peanut butter and canned chicken and spaghetti sauce. And I just want to say a big thank you on behalf of Father's Heart Ministry. If you're interested in helping with that, please reach out to our outreach team, and they'll tell you all about how to plug into that and getting those items to the needy right here in our own county. I want to encourage you today with this message. We're going to kind of sideline our It Is Written series. I want to talk to you something that is very, very personal to me. In fact, it's kind of, if there's something I would live on, it's this right here with our development in Christ. And I want you to think about my kids for a second. I've got three children. I've got a child in college, one in high school, and I've got an 8-year-old. His name's River. And we joke around, we tell him that we named the church after him, which is not true at all right? So, but he's just a lot of fun right now because he's always wanting to learn, always wanting to grow, always wanting to stretch himself, all right? And so he's in that sweet spot. And what I mean by that is he's able to kind of put his own clothes on and feed himself, which is really nice to have, and go to the bathroom, the whole shebang. But he's also not hormone infested yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's in that sweet spot right there. He's third grade. I'm like, oh, it's the angels singing. God's shining on us. And he's just having a blast. I hear his high-pitched voice. I know that's going to change one day. It's probably going to go lower than mine. It's going to scare me. But right now, I just hear so much adventure, so much optimism, so much hope for learning, growing, searching, and continuing to learn more about God. And I look at him, and I go, that should be true of us. I don't care if you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 70, 80 years old. We should have that continual optimism about what's the next step, what have I not done yet, or what do I need to go back and pick back on so I can continue to grow, continue to learn in God. Someone asked me recently, they asked me, say, how do you know, the people RCC, how do you know who's on fire for Jesus, you know, like River, wanting to grow, wanting to learn, and how many people are just kind of coasting, right? He used the word drafting, all right? So I can hear the NASCAR coming out of him. Like, he's, how many people are just drafting, and how many people are really, really intentional with their walk with Jesus Christ? And I thought, I that's a good question. That's a hard question. I mean, how many people really know Jesus in a life-changing way? Not like you know Abraham Lincoln or George Washington or Justin Bieber, all right? I'm talking about really know God, know Jesus in a life-changing way. Measuring spiritual maturity is difficult. I mean, you look in business, you can look at profitability, you can look at performance, you can look at the bottom line and see who the big boys are. If it's sports, you can look at stats. But spiritually, I mean, how do you know who's really, you know, really on fire for Jesus? I think the Bible kind of gives us a scorecard, gives us a baseline of what we ought to look at when it comes to our own spiritual development. It's found in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. 2:42. In fact, this passage means so much to a friend of mine that he started a little church called 2:42 in Detroit, Michigan. And that church right now is on fire. It's just growing right now, its impact in, of all places, Detroit, Michigan. And it's because they built their church right here off this passage. So let's read it. Here's what it says. They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So at a minimum, devoted followers of Jesus, at a minimum, obey God's word. At a minimum, they live in community. At a minimum, they're worshiping. At a minimum, they're praying together. Now, figuring out who's for real and who's just kind of you know, sliding by and blowing smoke, it's kind of hard to tell. So let me ask you, how would you answer that question? How would you answer the question that was proposed to me? How many participants, how many people at RCC mean business with their relationship with God? I mean, really, really mean business. Now, let me turn the knife on you for a second. Is that you? Your level of spiritual maturity is not determined by this. It's not determined by how long you've known the Lord. That doesn't mean much. I know a lot of people who have known the Lord for decades, and they haven't grown since the 50s spiritually, all right? It's not determined by how long you've known the Lord. It's determined by how well you follow the Lord. Amen? It's all about how you follow the Lord. And let me show you a graphic here. And I think it kind of helps kind of understand how people grow in the Lord, how you take the next step, but also how you can dam it up and stop your spiritual growth. I want you to notice the outer ring right now. It says, bring them in, build them up, send them out. Say that with me real quick. One, two, three. Bring them in, build them up, send them out. One more time. Bring them in, build them up, send them out, rawhide. All right, that's what we're doing. We want to continue to, we want to win people, train them up, and then unleash them is what we say in our mission statement. It's the same idea. Bring them in, build them up, and then send them out. This is happening as people are growing in Christ. I mean, we saw it right here. Matt was just baptized September 20th, less than a year ago, 2020. Well, guess what he got to do today? He baptized his daughter. That's a great way. Bring them in. He's building up. Now he's bringing his family in. And now you see that kind of cycle happening within the family. And that's exactly where it needs to happen first and foremost. So the first step I want to talk about is exploring phase. Exploring phase. This is the first step. And if you have not, they've not crossed that line into a commitment of Jesus yet. This is your fill in the blank, by the way, exploring phase. They start out as kind of Lord of their own lives. In fact, if the church like requires anything of them, they get kind of ticked about it. Because they're like, who's going to tell me what to do? Man, I am what? I am God. I'm the one who calls the shots in my life. They haven't accepted Jesus as their Lord. Jesus isn't calling the shots. They're calling the shots. And so people in this quadrant, they'll say things that kind of, they get offended when anything is called by God to them. They get offended. Why? Because once again, they think they're God. They'll say things like this. All the church wants is my what? Money. All the church wants is my money. And I'm thinking to myself, if that's the case, we're really, really bad at it, all right? I mean, you can come in, you can take all you want, and we're not going to charge you anything. Try that at Walmart, all right? Try that at Kohl's, all right? But they'll say that because they don't want anything being pushed on them, and they get offended really easy. They think it's inappropriate. There's any kind of expectation. You ask them why they believe what they believe. They use themselves, right? It's all about them, about what they think and what they see. And they'll say things like this. The church is full of hypocrites. The church is full of hypocrites. I'm like, well, is the Daytona 500, is there any hypocrites there? How about the Jaguars game? Any hypocrites there? You go there, right? What I want to say, my wife won't let me say, I want to say, well, we got room for one more. Come on, all right? My wife says not to do that, so... They'll say things like this, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. Loving God will never send someone to hell. You know why they think they're a good person? Because they compare themselves to the worst person they know. They compare themselves to that jerk down the street. I'm not like him. I'm not like the Taliban. I mean, I'm not that bad. You know, they compare themselves to Jesus. All of a sudden, they're toast. But they compare themselves to Hitler. Well, they're not looking that bad. They say things like this, I don't need the church. I'm fine. Why are they saying that? Because there's no sense of eternal beyond this life accountability. And we all know people like this. The truth is we all were people like this. Like we said this stuff. Stats tell us that 80% of people that are in this quadrant I'm talking about, this exploring phase, if you ask them in church, they said they'd come. And so there's a high five card right there next to you. I want you to go ahead and grab the high five card that's there in front of you and fill that out. If you know someone who is, say, not a believer, or they're not plugged into a church. You know, I'm a believer, but I'm not going anywhere. Go ahead and put their name down, all right? And let's start praying for them. Who are the top five people, people in your work, people maybe in your own house, your neighborhood, family? I don't know what it is. Who are the top five people? Who's your high five that you want to pray for right now, go ahead and write their name down while I'm talking about this. And I'm asking kind of for you to start praying while you're writing this down. God, open some doors here. Give me some boldness. Give me a heart to reach them. Lord, let me look for opportunities. Have your way with my life that I'll start inviting them in. Can you imagine the impact if we all brought five people over the next 2 years to church? Can you imagine the eternal impact that would have, not just on them, but as Matt showed us, the next generation and the next generation, all because one person, it's what it comes down to, all because one person invited them. You changed generations. I mean, you have no idea how people that will come behind you years and years later, like people who did it in my family, who invited somebody in my family, will say, thank you so much for inviting my great-great-grandfather to church. I mean, that's the power you have in that invite. So let's ask God to have his way with us. Because here's the reality. Everyone knows there's got to be more to life than this. In their heart of hearts, they know there's got to be more. Why is that? The scripture tells us that God, it says God has also set eternity in the human heart. He said, every single one of us, we know we're asking those questions. What's this all about? And when they come to church, they see it's all about Jesus. He gives them purpose. He gives them life. He gives them hope. He gives them grace. He is the truth. And then they have a life-changing experience, just like Matt and Reagan and Michaela are having. And they give their life to him. There's a life change. And then they become what we call a new believer. That's the next step in our growth. A new believer. Now, everyone comes to Christ regardless of age, and when they make that decision to follow Jesus, here's the thing, they are immature. They're immature. I mean, like any baby, they're spiritually made new, old sins, old shame, gone, right? Removed by Christ because of Jesus' sacrifice. They feel free because they are free. How many of you guys remember the moment you gave your life to Jesus? Raise your hand if you remember that moment when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. I remember that moment like it was yesterday. I mean, I'm serious. I remember that moment better than yesterday. And it happened in the 80s, okay? It's been a while. But I remember coming out and just realizing I'm clean. Ain't no sin can hold on me. It can't even touch me. I mean, I may mess up, but that doesn't mean I'm not saved. I mean, I remember, I'm so clean. I remember that because I felt it because that was the reality. Bad news, I had some maturing to do, all right? You're born again, spiritually alive, but you are immature. And so you shouldn't be surprised when old ways, old junk resurface in your life again. I had a pastor tell me recently that he went to a Christian concert and he was saving some seats for his kids at the Christian concert, and a Christian got mad at him for saving the seats and cussed him out. And I thought to myself, which one of you guys did that? Which one of you was it? Somebody at RCC, I know, I'm kidding. It's Hibernia. We know it has to be Hibernia, all right? I'm kidding. I'm joking, Hibernia. I'm joking. We love you guys, all right? But think about that. Think about that guy. That's a new believer. A new believer, probably, who still got some patient issues, anger issues, impulsive control issues, right? And they haven't developed the spiritually empowered self-control that they need from heaven in their life. Listen, asking why there's sin in the church is like asking why there's messy diapers in the nursery, right? Why is that? Because they're immature. And immaturity creates mess, right? And when you do something immature, you should confess that it's sin, address it, repent, have people around you help you with that, continue to understand I'm young in the faith, I need to put on spiritual muscle, all right? I need these tendons to break down and get rebuilt so I can handle those issues even stronger the next time they come around. The good news, though, is that unlike a physical baby, a spiritual baby can grow as fast as they want if they put themselves in the right situation. And man, when those new believers in God are in God's word every day and they're praying to God every single day and they're meeting regularly with believers and they're asking those questions, they start stretching themselves like I see so many people at RCC doing. They sacrifice their time, their energy, their money for God. They start taking off spiritually and that leads them to the next step, and that is growing believers. You're a growing believer. Obeying God, using his resources to become just part of your life now. Your grip on God's word, all right? You start growing in it more and stronger. Stronger. Practically, you're making decisions every single day based off your relationship with God. And you see yourself as a servant of God everywhere you go. I don't care if it's the workplace or the gym or the home or the family or you're dating. Everywhere you see yourself as a child of God. Listen, a single man in this phase right here will not sleep with his girlfriend. I don't care if she begs him. If she begs him, he'll break up with her. And you go, why is that? Because Jesus has impacted and affected every area of his life. He doesn't compartmentalize anymore. You know, I can do this and get away with it. He doesn't do that anymore because Jesus has a hold of his heart in every way. Situational ethics, business ethics, you don't compartmentalize that. And it's great watching someone go through this phase because you see them put on spiritual muscle, honoring God every day in every way, and eventually they'll continue to grow into what we call a mature believer. These people aren't perfect, but they are growing wise in the Lord, growing strong, reaping benefits, walking with the Lord for a while now. Mature believers, here's this. Mature believers feed themselves by feeding other people. That's huge. They feed themselves. You want to grow, mature believer? You do it by feeding other people. No matter what church you're part of, you hear people say this. They go, Nathan, I don't care if it's Delaware or Wisconsin or Afghanistan, wherever it may be. Every church does it. I don't care if it's 10 people or 10,000 people. People come up and say, oh, we're not going to be here anymore because we're not being fed here. We're going to go somewhere else get fed, right? Let me ask you a question because you can tell the phase by the phrase, right? Who says this? Mommy, feed me. Daddy, feed me. Now, I'm not very smart, but nobody's had to feed me since I was 2 years old, okay? I've been able to figure this out. Mature believers know that when you get to this stage of your spiritual development, you don't grow by learning new stuff out of the Bible as much as you grow in taking spiritual risk, serving, and mentoring others. You continue to grow in the Word. This is like water for us. We need this for our growth. But you grow most is by finding other people in these other three areas and coming alongside them, helping them mature. So here it is. Listen. Mature believers help other believers mature. Say that with me. Mature believers help other believers mature. One more time. Mature believers help other believers mature. So you go, well, I'm a mature believer. All right, if you think that's you, here's a question for you. What's the name of the person? What's the name? What's their name? What's the name of the person that I'm helping to mature right now? And I'm not talking about putting something on social media, because that'll mature anybody, by the way, newsflash. I'm talking about praying with them, meeting with them, studying with them, doing life with them. Who's the name of the person that you're helping to mature in Jesus Christ right now? And if you think you're mature because you know a whole bunch of stuff in the Bible, well, guess what? The Pharisees thought the same thing. And that was with the people who Jesus was most disappointed with, because they knew enough. And instead of helping other people mature, they got arrogant with their knowledge, and their pride stunted their maturity in Jesus. Listen, if you're in exploring phase, you come in, you're not a Christian, I just want you to hear me. We are so glad you're here. Amen, church? We are so glad you're here. We've been praying for you. We hope you feel right at home. Ask those hard questions. I invite you to get involved in a life group. Get involved. Take those steps. Get some answers in your search for truth through Jesus Christ. They're there. We would be honored to walk with you. And if you're in an exploring phase right now, I just want to remind you once again of Acts 2:42 and that connecting with God, the spiritual growth step. And here it is. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Notice the core commitments here. Fellowship. What does that mean? That's a relational connection. I mean, this is more than just, hey, how the Jags doing? You know, this is, I'm talking about, man, you're super connected. You share life together. And we look in the Bible, we see this over and over. 1 Peter 2:17, Peter says to love your spiritual family. In 1 John 4:21, it says that the person who loves God loves other believers. Listen, the reason why God continues to push you and me towards community, okay? Why he keeps doing that is because spiritual growth happens best when you're connected with other believers. I'm going to say something. I know some of you are going to push back, but here it is. You cannot grow just by yourself. You can't grow without community, spiritually speaking. And I know what America tells you, and I know what the I generation tells you, but that's not what the Bible tells you. There's nobody in the Bible who grew in their relationship with Jesus Christ all by themselves. You're not going to find it. And I've never seen it in my own eyes. I've seen people who are growing with the Lord then pull out of spiritual community. I've never seen them thrive. I've only seen them dive down spiritually. And they can tell you all they want or why or busy, whatever else. But the bottom line, spiritually, they are not as strong as they used to be because they're not in community. And you hear me say this. Lone Rangers are what? Dead Rangers. Lone Rangers are dead Rangers. Ain't nobody strong enough to go on their own. Jesus knew that. That's why he needed a small group. So you do too. I think about this. You know, I love camping out. I love camping out. I love entertainment. One of my best forms of entertainment camping out is just watching a fire. I know a lot of you like watching TV and all that stuff. I don't have time for it, and it's kind of boring to me. I like watching a fire, all right? That's just how I roll, all right? Fire was around before TVs were, okay? And it's just fun watching a fire. It's just constant entertainment, watching everything kind of turn around. And you look inside that fire, and right in the heart of it, like these really, really blue coals. You know what I'm talking about? Like, that's the hot stuff. Like, you're like, that thing is running the whole ship. I mean, that thing is really making all this go. But if I take that blue coal, right, out of the fire, and I take it 10, 12, 15 feet over and put it on the ground, all right, on the dirt, what happens to that coal? What happens? It's not blue anymore. What color is it now? It's ash. What happened? It pulled away from the fire. It lost its edge. It lost its purpose, right? It lost its whole point. It's not doing anything. It's just dying. But you take that coal that's now ash color, and you bring it back over the fire, and you put it inside the fire. What happens to that? What happens to that coal? It comes back alive. And that's the same thing for you. You die spiritually. I mean, you cannot continue in growth. This is not going to happen if you go on your own. Lone Rangers are dead Rangers. It's biblical. It's never been done before. You can't go on your own. And I've never seen it in life. Let's talk about that connection we need. Every step we're at, wherever you're at right now in that cycle, what do you need? If you're a new believer, here it is. New believer means you join a church. It means you choose to belong. Look back at Acts 2:42 in your Bible. It says that they were devoted to one another. Devoted means, I'll go when I feel like it. Devoted does not mean, things have to be going my way. Devoted does not mean I'm busy. Devoted does not mean who else is going. I mean, they were devoted no matter what happened. Jesus put it this way. He was devoted to 12. His 12 were devoted to others. And because of that devotion, you and I are in this room right here. You guys online are watching this right now. Because they were devoted. Look what Paul says in Ephesians. He says, you are members of God's very own family. And I love this. And you belong. You want to find a place to belong? Here it is. You belong in God's household with every other Christian. Friends, that means that the Christian life is not just a matter of believing. It's also a matter of belonging. It's not just a matter of believing. I believe. Okay, that's the start. Now, belong. Listen, at the church is found in Acts chapter 2, there's no concept of believer who does not belong to a local church. And I know there's great ministries, and we support a lot of them right here in our community. Great conferences for teenagers and community outreaches and Bible studies. Incredible stuff, but I want you to listen to me. They do not take the place. They are not a substitute for the local church. And you're saying, well, you're saying that because you're a pastor. No. I'm a pastor because I believe it. I'm right here before you right now because my parents at a place in their life got really connected to church. They had friendships in church. They belonged in church on their own, not for the kids, but for their own development, their own spiritual walk. And they thrived because of that community. And guess who else thrived in that community? I did. And because of that moment in time when we were connected as a church family to that community of believers, I've got aunts and uncles for the rest of my life. I mean, I'm telling you right now, I'm standing before you right now because the Christian community changed my life at a pivotal age because my parents were connected to other believers. And you want your kids to know Jesus? That means you've got to get connected to Jesus. That's just the reality. You need to connect in a Jesus community so your kids can see, you know what, my parents aren't just talking, they're walking the walk, they're actually doing this community thing. And so you need to belong to a church, that's your next step. So if you don't belong to a church, I want to give you this. Go ahead and reserve September 12th in your calendars. That's the next Welcome to RCC, September 12th. That's 2 weeks from right now at 10:30. Come at 9 o'clock service. Then at 10:30, join Welcome RCC. If you've never done that, you need to make that move. That's your next step. Pastor Anthony does a great job, and that's how people belong to the church. I just want to say this. If you've been coming for 5 weeks or 5 months or 5 years, I'm not very smart, but I'm kind of figuring this must be the place for you, all right? So go ahead and take that next step, and let's help your relationship with God get stronger. If this church is not going to help you get stronger, I want to tell you this. Go find one that does. Man, this is not God's burden for you. This is God's blessing for you. Now, if you're a growing believer, here's your next step, and that is relationships. Make friendships. Man, choose to share, do life together. In Acts 2:44, we see this. It says, all the believers, not just some, not just most, not just a few. All believers kept meeting together and they shared everything with each other. You cannot develop life-changing friendships without meeting together and sharing on a regular basis. The more you meet, the more consistent you are, the closer you become. And you might look around church and you see people spend time with each other. You go, man, they must be lucky. Look at them. They're lucky. They got friends. Let me tell you right now, luck has nothing to do with it. Great connection exists because those people invested in others, share time together, and that's why their spiritual journey is going to go to the next level because they have developed friendships with other believers in our church. Acts 2:46 says this, every day they continued to what? Meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with gladness in their hearts. So I want you to notice, they got together in these big temple courts, like a big service like this, but then they also got together in these smaller groups. And that's what we try to do here at RCC. Both meetings are crucial. Both gatherings are crucial. The time we come together to celebrate what God is doing, but then the relationships happen in the smaller groups. We do life together. Great connections exist because these people have invested, like I said. In RCC, you need to know this, is morphing into a small group church. We take care of people best in life groups. People ask, you know, hey, I need this help on this and da da da. And one of my first questions is to ask them, what life group are you a part of? Because I want them to know how important it is. And why is it so important? Because the life groups, I mean, we got incredible benevolence here. I'm so thankful, and God's going to continue to grow our benevolence and helping all kinds of people all around the world and right here in our community. But our best benevolence, believe it or not, happens in our life groups. Before people even ask, their life group is already coming together, bringing food, providing, giving car rides, helping them financially, praying, walking alongside. That happens in our life groups. You need to be in a life group before you need a life group, all right? And I'm telling you, our best benevolence, I'll say it again, happens in our life groups. And it's time to join a life group like yesterday, okay? There was a lady, and she asked for her pastor to come see her at the house. And so he brought a friend, he went to the house, and he knocks on the door. Nothing happens. He looks over, he sees her car in the parking lot. He's like, I know she's here. So he knocks even harder. Nothing happens. She doesn't come to the door. And so he's kind of a smart aleck, and so he goes and gets a piece of paper in his car and a pen, and he writes on the card, you know, hey, Pastor so-and-so is here, and then he left a verse, and the verse was from Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, and the verse said this on this letter he left on her door: "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and answers the door, I will come in." Well, then a few days later, he gets a note back from her. And she's apologizing for not answering the door. And then she left a scripture on a piece of paper for the pastor. And it had Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. Well, he didn't remember what it said, so he opened up his Bible, and it reads this: "I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." She stuck it right back to him. I'm like, that's a good thing she didn't answer the door. Can I just tell you this? If you're waiting for a pastor or you're waiting for an elder to know everything about your spiritual life and ways that you can be ministered to, you're probably going to be waiting for a long time. And the good news is this. The good news is you don't have to. It was never God's intention for ministry to bottleneck at the pastor's office. Our job as pastors, and one thing we try to do at RCC is we try to be staff light because we want to equip the body to do the work. That's our job. We do it, but we do it with you. We're about equipping people to unleash compassion on our community and one another. And so what happens best is when the church family has been empowered, has been unleashed to minister to one another and to our community. That's the most effective way. That's how God designed it. And so when RCC gets larger, it's imperative that we get smaller. And if you're not in one of these small little clusters that meet together, go to the atrium and look at the life group section. They would be honored to talk to you. And if you're interested in leading one or hosting one, please talk to someone out there. You guys online, you can go to riverchristian.church/livegroups, and you can see information there. On that high five card, if you flip it around, you'll see a QR code, you'll see a website, and that'll lead you to an email address. So if you're interested in leading one or hosting one, man, it'll ramp up your spiritual growth big time. So take that step and let us know about you, and then we'll tell you the next thing. Or if you're interested in just joining one, use that card or go on outside the atrium. You guys online, hit our website. So I want to encourage you with this, and that is, if you're not in a group, that's your next move. Listen, the best things that happen to RCC are not this building, they happen in the community. Bible says this: "Let us not give up meeting together as some in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another." And that encouraging one another, I mean, it kind of happens here, but it happens even better in life groups. It's amazing the stories we're hearing about people who are like, "I didn't know what was going to happen with the life group," and all of a sudden they met people they didn't know, and just like that, they cannot imagine their life without these people. I want you to hear this testimony from Nathan and Minnie Chick. Check this out.
Hi guys, I'm Nate.
And I'm Minnie, and we're here to talk to you guys about life group.
Being in a life group for me has really, really connected me with other people that normally I wouldn't really let down the wall to let them in. And it's really caused me to share more about things that I normally wouldn't share with people. And I value that.
Yeah, hearing other people share their stories as we get in the Word of God and how they apply God's Word to their lives allows me to have a more intimate relationship with the Lord and utilize the words of God in my own life and in my own trials and triumphs.
Yeah, being part of a life group to me is definitely worth it, because before there was a disconnect as far as with others in the church, and it's also added an area of deeper digging into God's Word, connection with others, being able to pray for others, being involved in other people's lives more so, and just really dependent on other people, you know, to pray for us and have that connection so we could help lift each other up.
Yeah, prayer is a lifeline to the Lord, and to have the opportunity to be part of a group of believers and we're all lifting each other up in prayer, it's a beautiful thing to know that they have your back, we have their back, and it's just an honor. It brings healing in my own life to pray for others' needs.
If any of you guys are not part of a life group, I understand you may have some reservations. I know we did. But once we felt like, hey, let's go ahead and try this out, ended up being a wonderful experience. And we've been in it 2 years now. And it's blessed our family in so many ways that we definitely are very thankful that we took that chance.
Yeah, it's intimidating to join any group or do anything new for that matter, but it's such a blessing when we do. There's so many opportunities to help one another, whether it's through prayer or bringing a meal to someone. We've even rapped for someone before.
Thank you, Rhea. I'm about to flow. Where I'm gonna go, yo, I don't know. But I know that Jim and Tina are there, and I'm just telling you that we care.
We wouldn't go back and not be part of a life group. It's been such a blessing to us, and hopefully we've been a blessing to everyone in our group as well.
Hey, give it up for Nathan and Minnie Chick. He doesn't look like a rapper, does he? But it's all in there somewhere, all right? And that was a rap to bless someone in their life group who was battling cancer. Tina Dial, we're praying for her, and she's doing great. So that's what happens in a life group. I mean, you know about what's going on. You encourage one another. You provide in so many ways for one another. Like I said, be in a group before you need a group. William Putnam, who is a doctor at Harvard, said, if you go from zero groups to one group, in 1 year, you cut your risk of dying in half. If you go from zero groups to one group in 1 year, you cut your risk of dying in half. And that's kind of led us to our new life group motto here at RCC, join a group or die, all right? So we're on. Spiritual growth happens when a decision is followed up by an action. And I would beg you to decide to join a group, budget that time, follow through. Hey, you mature believers, what does it mean for you to connect? Well, here it is. It means choosing to love like family. Love like family. You can hear that in what Minnie and Nathan are talking about. I tell you, it's interesting. So many people come up and said this, you know, I love my family, but this church home is closer than my own family. When my family was falling apart, let me tell you right now, this church, the church overall, my local church at that time was closer to me than my own family. I stepped in when my parents' marriage was dissolving. And I tell you what, it was because of that I'm standing before you now. I know what it means to love the church and have a connection with them or your own family. You know, we talk about kin and we talk about bloodline being very important. What's stronger than our own bloodline is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen, church? That's stronger than our own family bloodline. And I hope that you understand one day the deepest level of fellowship. So here's a test to assess your closeness to other believers. I'm going to read these questions for you, and I want you to answer them for yourself. This is kind of a connectedness inventory, all right? First question is this. When something goes wrong, do I have at least one friend who is a believer I can easily talk with about it? Do you have someone, when something goes south in your life, that you can talk to that's a follower of Jesus Christ? You have that person. Number two, do I have a friend at church I can drop in on without calling ahead? All right? I call this refrigerator rights. They can walk right in your house and go right in your refrigerator, all right? You have a brother or sister in Christ who can just do that. Just come right on in. They're family, and you can call that joker at 3 a.m. in the morning if you're broke down the side, and they'll come help you out. Do you have a brother or sister in Christ like that? Number three, is there a follower of Jesus who accurately can name your greatest fear and your greatest temptation? You have someone that you can take the mask off with and just be real and say, you know what? This is what I can fall to. This is what I'm most concerned and anxious about. Do you have a brother or sister in Christ you can do that with? Which leads to number four, do I have a brother and sister in Christ whose confidentiality I can trust? I mean, you got to have that kind of relationship, right? Where you can share anything, you know it's going to stay there. Do I have someone who can take that with them to their grave, all right? Do you have that person? Number five, is something great happens in my life, do I have someone at church I could call who would celebrate with me. I love that. We mourn with those who mourn, but guess what? We rejoice with those who rejoice. Do you have a fan like that, a friend like that? And I'm going to say right now, if you can't answer yes in those questions, it's time for you to get connected to someone who will bless your life. And I'm going to tell you right now, you could, if you grow spiritually, you will be. You can't grow spiritually without those type of connections. And it takes time to get to know others. So not by name, I'm talking about by heart. And if you get in one of our groups, throw your heart in the ring, and I'm telling you, watch what happens if you stay committed to it. And if you're connected to a life group, I just want to say right now, praise be to God. And if you're not, I'm asking you to ask God, God, what do I do next to get connected so I can grow in you? You're one decision away from that connection. So I'm going to ask you right now, why don't you take that step, meet us out in the atrium. We would love to talk to you about life groups. Will you take that card, that high five card, and take it in your hand right now? Go ahead and grab it, and now please stand. I want you to stand with a high five card. We're going to pray over them. I want to pray over these cards, the names you wrote. And even while I'm praying, maybe some other names come to mind. Maybe you only wrote two, and maybe a third, fourth, fifth name. Go ahead and write that. You guys online can do it on a piece of paper. I want to pray over that. I want to pray over you. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, generations hang in the balance with an invite. And Lord, we get nervous and we get scared. But Lord, may we realize how you can use that one interaction. And some of us are going to ask, and maybe we don't get a favorable response, but Lord, help us to continue to pray for them. Continue to find ways. We ask for open doors. Help us to see those open doors. Or our high five, Lord, these five people, Lord, we're asking you to put them on our heart. May we pray for them to get more connected. Maybe they're not Christians. Maybe they are Christians right now. Lord, they're disconnected. Lord, praying for them to draw closer to local family. Lord, I'm asking right now for each one of us, wherever we're at in our walk, whether we're exploring or a new believer, grown believer, mature believer, may we take that next step right now in our connectivity. Lord, right now, maybe put a flag in the ground and say, no matter what, God, me and my family, we're going to take this next step. Maybe it's joining a church, joining a life group. Maybe it's mentoring someone. Maybe it's joining the cause of Jesus Christ. Lord, may we take that next step in connectivity with others and with you. Those two things always go together. They're never separated. Lord, may you put that on our heart, and may we now act with belief and action and in faith. And Lord, may you bless us, but not just us. May you bless those around us for generations to come. Lord, thank you so much. Eternity hangs in the balance. We pray this in the name of your son, Jesus, and the whole church said, amen. So if you need prayer, I want to ask you to go to the cross. Take that card, the card there in front of you, connect card, QR code it. We'd love to pray for you. Maybe today you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. You guys online, hit that request prayer button, wherever you need. Once you do that, let's ask God to make room right now.